Amen. Good morning. God bless you if you're long-term attender. God bless you if you're here for the first time. God bless you if you're watching online. I want you to be blessed as well. Wherever you are, you know, our heart here is for wholeness for you. Well, what does that really mean? You know, that spirit, soul, and body, that you're made whole, complete in Jesus, because that's the only way we can be made complete. Amen. Apart from that, we can try to attain to different things, but it will be imperfect. We will never arrive at the place God has for us outside of Him. Amen? So I appreciate you understanding the value of church. I appreciate you understanding the value of fellowship with other believers. In fact, if you endure to the end, we got food and good stuff after, all right? So that's the hook I'm going to use to keep you here for a little while, all right? Amen. But God is good. And we're starting a series called Connections. Now, the reason why the Lord put this on my heart is that really our life is full of connections, isn't it? It's full of connections with other people. It's full of connections, you know, jobs, school, all those kinds of things. But more importantly, your connection with God Himself. Amen? Because if we get that right, then everything else gets right after that. Amen? So often we think, well, I got to fix my life. I got to get things right here and down here. Then I can get right with God. It can't work and doesn't work that way. It only works when you get right with God first. And how do you get right with Him? Well, it's not by trying to be good, not trying to do all the right things, because you and I can never be good enough for God. And God knew that, so He sent His Son, and He did what? Gave His life on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. And I want to just take a moment right now, because here's why. This is the greatest connection any of us could ever have, and that's a relationship with Jesus. I want to make sure that every person here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so if I'm saying that and you're like, I don't exactly know what he's talking about, or yeah, I go to church, I try to be a good person. You know, if those are the kinds of things going through your mind, then you have not personally accepted Jesus into your life. And you need to. This isn't about joining the church, all right? In fact, we don't really have membership here. In fact, somebody said to me one day, you know, I want to become a church member here. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, what do I do? And I'm like, do you come here? And like, yeah. Do you love Jesus? Yeah. Do you want to keep coming here? Yeah. Well, guess what? You're a member. You know what I'm saying? That and because here's what we believe as a church, that you're not a member of a church. You're a member of the household of God. And that's the most important thing. Again, I know churches have membership, you know, they do that. And I'm not against, you know, that's their business. That's what they got to do. But for us here, we believe it's more important for you to be part of the kingdom, part of God's family. So let me go back to that again. If you're not sure, or you want to be sure that Jesus is a part of your life, that there's a place in heaven with your name on it, if that's you and you just want to be sure, just put your hand up in the air. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to make you come forward. I see that hand over there. Anyone else? I see that hand here. Anyone else? See that hand over there on my right. All right? And I see the hand in the back. Okay. So let's take a minute. For all you guys that put up your hand, I'd like you to repeat this prayer after me. But here's the thing. You got to make it your prayer. You know, my words don't change anything. It's if you pray with heartfelt meaning, then this is your moment. So for the rest of us, you know Jesus. So let's help those that are just meeting Him for the first time to repeat this prayer, all right? So, dear Lord Jesus, I don't fully understand all this, but I know I'm not right, and I need you. And so, Lord, right now, I choose to leave my sinful life to follow you. I ask you right now to come into my heart as Lord and Savior, and to guide me from this point forward. And I will listen to you and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, congratulations. So if anybody asks you, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Here's an easy one. You can say in 2025, Mother's Day, I accepted Jesus. Amen? That would be an easy one to remember. But if you made that decision, please talk to somebody with one of the lanyards or come up to me, and we'll equip you with some stuff and just help you in your spiritual journey with Jesus. Amen. So about, you know, this whole idea of wholeness, you know, we need to talk about spiritual maturity, and that's the subtitle. So, you know, the title's connections, you know, growing in our emotional maturity. So I know, don't look at your spouse or look around and say, yeah, you need this today. Don't do that, all right? You know, let's not embarrass anybody. Let's just keep looking forward, all right? But here's the thing. If this isn't for you necessarily, what we're going to talk about, it will be for someone around you. I promise you that. There's application for each and every one of us here today. So let's, you know, I always have kind of like an anchor scripture, a foundation scripture we kind of go out from. And I'd like to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I use this scripture lots, preached on this over the years, mostly focusing on the idea that we haven't got fear. And what are we called to have instead of fear? Faith, right? In other words, fear smothers faith. Fear hinders you from being able to trust God. But I'm not focusing on that today. I want to focus on the last part where it says, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. That word power is a Greek word dunamis. It means explosive power. It means the ability to do things and change things. And that's that kind of power. Not an authority power, but a power. Like dynamite. You had a stick of dynamite. That's literally what this means, all right? But then it goes on, it says of love, and that's agape love. That's the kind of love that God has for you, and that's the kind of love we're to have for one another. No strings attached kind of love. That kind of love where somebody does something wrong to you, you can say, look, I still love you no matter what. That's the God kind of love. It's no conditions. But what I really want to focus on is, and of what? A sound mind. So listen, I could talk about defining it, but the Amplified does an amazing job with this scripture. So let's read it in Amplified. So 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment, personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind, and self-control. So I have this question for you this morning before we go on. Read that last part that's in brackets. You know, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Could you describe this of yourself? Some people are laughing. Some people are saying no comment. All right, better question still. Could your spouse or a close friend or a loved one describe that of yourself? Because that's the real test, isn't it? Would they say that of you? Here's the reality of it. God has called us to be that. Saying, look, you haven't been given fear, but you're given power, love, and of a sound mind. The abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. What is that talking about? It's talking about our emotions. Now, let me tell you this right off. Emotions in themselves are not evil or wrong or sinful. They're God-given in their place. You hear what I'm saying? In their place. And so the question is, for us, is how do we manage these emotions in a way that brings honor and glory to God? And that's really what we want to talk about today. So here's the thing. I want to take a few minutes to look at an account in the Bible of how where emotions got the best of a situation. And hopefully, it won't happen to us. All right, so let's just have a look. It's in Numbers chapter 20. I need to give you some background. There's a guy by the name of Moses. How many people heard of Moses? All right, pretty important guy in the Old Testament. A lot of books of the Bible where he's in it. A lot of chapters that talk about him. And so he grew up in Pharaoh's household. All right, and so for the first 40 years of his life, he was there. You know, literally like a prince in Egypt. Literally had, you know, access to all the money, all the stuff, right? But when he was about 40 years old, he realized, you know, he knew that he was of Jewish descent. He knew that the Jews there, the Israelites, were under persecution. And one day he stood up against other Egyptians and killed one because he was defending the Israelite. So as a result of it, he goes on the run. So for the next 40 years, he's in the wilderness, all right? So during that time, he gets married, has a couple of kids. He's looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And so 40 years goes by of time. Can you imagine 40 years in the desert doing that? He has a burning bush experience where he encounters God, and God says, look, you need to go back to Egypt, and you need to bring my people out. And so then he goes back and, you know, let my people go, you know, the whole thing with Pharaoh. He gets out, right? He's going, everything's going great. And 3 days after they get out, the people start complaining. whining and whinging and complaining. You know, it would have been better if we stayed back in Egypt, be better there. You know, I guess they forgot about the whippings and all the cruelties that were done. But anyways, whatever. And so here's what God does. God provides them with a rock. And he says to Moses, take your staff and strike the rock, and out of the rock will come water. For not only for the people, but for all the livestock, for everyone. More than enough. And it happens. It's amazing, right? And so a little while later, they get to the edge of the promised land. So it would only take about 40 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. So they make a beeline, right, to there. And they're there, right? And you have spies. Moses sends the spies into the promised land. You got 12 spies. They come back. 10 of them bring what? A negative report. 2 of them say, no, it's okay. We can do this. But the 10 convinced the millions to say, we aren't strong enough. And so as a result of it, they spend the next 40 years. Now, can you imagine Moses? He'd already been in the wilderness for 40 years. So now he's in the wilderness for another 40 years. So almost 80 years, he's wandering around in the desert. Now, here's just a side thought. Moses was in the desert that last 40 years, not because of his actions, but because of other people's actions. So here's a thought. Could it be you are where you are, not because of anything you did or didn't do? But maybe because someone around you made a decision or didn't make a decision that impacted your life? Well, in a sense, what we're going to talk about is hopefully will help you with that. Here's what I will tell you, that regardless of that, God is with you. Regardless of whatever's happened and you may be upset about it, God still has a plan in the midst of it. And so here's what happens now. The 40 years has gone by, and so they come again. They're almost ready to cross over into the promised land. And again, the people are complaining that they're thirsty and everything, right? Again, you'd think they'd get the message that God has provided for 40 years. Nope. Whinging and whining again. Can you imagine Moses? Could you imagine you being the caregiver of all those people? And all they did was complain most of the time. I think I'd walk off the job. I'd be like, God, I'm done. Fire me. Get somebody else. But Moses was faithful. He just kept going. But we're going to pick up an account that had an impact on Moses' life. And so it's in Numbers 20, beginning at verse 7. So this is right. People are complaining. They're thirsty again. And so then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give to drink to the congregation and their animals. Sounds like a repeat from like 38 years ago, right? So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Like, I remember as a new believer reading this scripture saying, that's not fair. You know, Moses has been so faithful. He was called a servant of God. He'd done everything he was supposed to do. 40 years, enduring, complaints and all this. And then he comes up to this one thing and does something that appears to be a pretty minor infraction. And then he's not able to enter into the promised land. He gets to see it, but never gets to enter in. Before I talk about him, I want to talk about you and I for a minute. Listen to me. If we don't deal with our emotions, it can hinder us to enter into the promises God's got for us. And that's what happened to Moses. All that frustration, in fact, as you listen to the words that he says, you rebels, you can hear the anger. You can hear the frustration in it. It's like this again. You can tell that he's angry. And what does he do in anger? He doesn't think clearly. And he disobeys the word of the Lord. And you might say, well, what did he do wrong? Well, the first time, he was to strike the rock. I mentioned this earlier. 38 years ago, he was called to strike the rock, right? And water would come out. The Bible in the New Testament says that that rock represents Jesus Christ. That rock represents the sustenance that they had when they were in the wilderness, all right? And that rock was to follow them, so to speak. And so here again, we got this same rock years later. And what does God say? He says, just speak to the rock. Don't strike it. Just speak to it. But what does Moses do? He strikes it not just once, but twice. You see, Jesus died once and for all for our sins. He served and punished for us once. He doesn't need to die over and over and over again. And so this rock is symbolic of Jesus. So here's Moses again smiting the Lord, right? Also disobeying what God had told him to do. And again, we see this as what we think is a minor infraction. But in the things of God, this was a big deal. Also, he also said a couple things there. He said, must we bring water out of the rock? What's he saying? Kind of equaling himself with God there, right? You know, it's no longer, hey, the Lord says, I'm going to speak to this rock and the Lord is going to bring the water out. He didn't say any of that, did he? You rebels, must we do this? You know, and all this, what is he doing? He's putting himself equal with God. And that's why the Lord said, because you didn't hallow my name, because you didn't honor who I am. In a sense, you've lifted yourself up and exalted yourself. And as a result of that, you're now not able to enter into the promised land. Can I tell you something? That when you and I exalt ourselves to the level of God, when we try to take control, we will miss out on what God has for us. Now, that may sound harsh. I'm just being honest with you. I need you to understand the reality of these truths. Because, listen, God just didn't do a little wink, wink, nod here and say, well, look, at you know, Moses, you've been faithful for like 40 years. You know, and you know, this is just a little thing. You know, we'll just let this slide. God doesn't do that. He honors his word. His word is the word is the word. So there's no little like, oh, we'll just let this slide by now. He honors his word. And as a result of Moses' disobedience, he misses out. Why? Because he was emotional. Because he allowed emotions to cloud him. And in becoming so emotional, he couldn't think clearly. Do you know that anger is probably one of the most dangerous emotions there can be? How many people have been angry at some point in their life? All right, then let me ask you the next question. Could you think clearly at that moment? No, especially if you're like hot angry, you know what I'm saying? When you're angry, it's hard. Now, I want to say this to you though. Anger in itself is not wrong or sinful. Here's why. Jesus got angry, and the Bible says that he was sinless. So what makes his anger different from our kind of anger? You know, how do we discern the difference between the two? Well, first of all, when Jesus got angry, he got angry at religious people, right? He got angry at their portrayal of who God was, that they were deceiving other people and leading them down blind alleys, in a sense, rather than to the one true God. He got angry at his disciples. One time the children were coming to him, right? And the disciples stopped the kids. And Jesus says, don't hinder them. Let them come to me. It literally says that he was angry with his disciples. Now, so that's a righteous kind of anger, right? And so how about the time where he was standing at Lazarus' tomb and everyone was weeping and the Bible says he snorted with indignation. You ever wonder what that really means in real language, real English? It means he was mad. He was angry. You can look it up in the original. That's literally what it means. He was angry over sin and death. He wasn't angry at the people. He was just angry that death had taken Lazarus, that sickness had taken him. And so we can see that there can be a healthy kind of anger. So how do you and I work out the difference? How do you and I figure out whether we're having a healthy anger or an unhealthy anger? Well, here's a litmus test for you. At least for me, it helps me. If your anger is about you, then it's probably unhealthy and unrighteous. But if you're angry because of an injustice that's happening to someone else, that's probably a righteous anger. Does that help everybody kind of? Because you might say, well, hold it here. You know, I was at my job and the boss did this or he did that. And man, I told him where to go and I quit. Okay, great. You're jobless now. And you didn't plan ahead on that one, did you? You get what I'm saying? Or that schoolmate at school, you know, something happened. It was some stupid thing. And you just got angry and said, I never want to talk to you again. And you haven't talked to them since. You know, it can happen so easy, right? Here's what I want to say to you. You can burn your life down by one outburst. You can burn a relationship, the bridge in that relationship, by one outburst. You can have 20 years of faithfulness, of love and compassion, and then that volcano explodes, right? You know, and you say or do something that you shouldn't say, and all of a sudden you just burn that connection apart, right? Think about a house. You know, you got a house or a building like this. You know, there's all kinds of connections there, little electrical connections. Now imagine one connection that starts to get hot. What does it do? Catches on fire and has the potential to do what? Burn the whole house down. Can I tell you this? One outburst of anger, and probably if you've had one, you're probably having many, because generally an angry person has a trait of that, right? Has an emotional, you know, history of that. What will happen is you will burn your connection. You will burn your relationships. And that's not what God wants. You ever wonder why you don't have close, if you're one of those kind of people, and you wonder, why do people kind of stay away from me? Well, listen, if you're a ticking time bomb, nobody wants to stand near a bomb that's going to go off. If you're an angry person, there's a reason. People are just going to say, I'm just going to, you know, just going to stay back. Because when you explode, nobody wants the debris flying and hitting them, right? Nobody wants that. And so we have to make a decision to change ourselves in this. But here's the thing. I'm going to give you some points here a little while to talk about how to deal with some of these things. But the answer is Jesus. It truly is Jesus, to call upon him. He is the one that can help. Because here's the thing. You can do some anger management things. You can, you know, manage some things. But the only way it can be dealt with at its core is through trusting Jesus to help you navigate it. He is the answer. It says in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Well, what does that really mean? Human anger does not produce the character of Jesus in you. That's literally what that scripture means. How many people want to be like Jesus? Got a few people here? I hope so. Hopefully, if you're awake, you're all putting your hand up, right? We all want to be. And so the character of Jesus is not to let human anger, the man kind of anger, get involved in our lives. Think about this. The first time we see in the Bible anger, it brought death. You got Cain and Abel, first sons on planet Earth, right? They offer up sacrifices, each one of them to the Lord, right? And the Bible says that God rejected Cain's sacrifice. You know what Cain does? He gets angry. It literally says he gets angry. And God speaks to him and says, look at Cain, sin is crouching at your door. You need to master this. You need to deal with this anger. And you need to overcome it. How did Cain do on that? Did he listen to God? No, it says that he rose up and killed his brother Abel. So literally, here's what anger does when it's unfettered or unbridled. It will eventually bring death in your life or death to those around you. And you don't want that. Amen? Okay. So, what are some possible sources of this unhealthy anger? You know, we've all admitted that we've gotten angry, right? Where does this stuff come from? You know, you could say, well, sin nature. Okay, we could do that. But I want to look at just three areas that have maybe impacted you and I in this area. So here's the first possible source of unhealthy anger. Learned behavior. You've been influenced by the people around you. I had this guy, back in my early years, I owned a business, and I had this guy by the name of Alan that worked for me, and I knew when he was angry because he'd throw tools. He literally would throw wrenches. Like, if he got angry, something happened, I'd hear clang, bang, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? You know, and that was his way of anger management. I don't know, but it was dangerous, you know, literally throwing tools around. We had a number of years ago, we had what we call Boys Club. It was a club for ages 6 to 12. Now we have Kids Club, so we combine the boys and girls. So we used to have Boys and Girls Club. So my son Aaron was 6 years old when we started this, and we did it for 10 years or so. It was great. Had other parents help, and it was wonderful. We had these two brothers that used to come, and they were wonderful little kids. But here's what happened. If something went wrong or something happened, this one kid, the one brother, the older brother, his head would glow red. Like, it would literally, the blood would just all go to the top of his head, and he'd explode like a bomb, screaming and cussing and kicking. And like, literally, he'd go blind angry. Like, you couldn't even talk to the kid. Like, just crazy. And I'm like, man, you got some anger issues. And we, you know, we kind of tried to help him try to help him calm down and navigate this a little bit. Because he really wasn't a bad kid, but he had this thing, like a short fuse. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I mean, super short. You know, just, bleh. So I felt so bad. Okay. Then one day we had a picnic, and it turned out that the parents came of this young man. And I met the dad for the first time. It wasn't the kid's fault. Something happened, and I saw the father. His head got red. He exploded. The same thing. I'm like, oh, my God. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Literally, he had picked up this behavior from his father. It could be spiritually picked it up or just by just being in close proximity. But I felt so bad. And here's the sad part. As this father, this husband, is exploding, I see his whole family just backing away. Backing away from the bomb that's going off. Just like I talked about, if you're an angry person and you wonder, why can't I have close relationships? Why can't I connect with people very well? It's because they're scared of you. They don't know whether they got Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde today. You know what I'm saying? They just don't, and so they just back away. You don't want to be that person. And how about this? If you're not that person and you have one of those people in your life, let's help them today, all right? Let's help bring them to Jesus. Help them be able to navigate through this because this isn't God's best for them or for you either. Amen? Okay. So the first one, right, is learned behavior. Second one is this, unresolved trauma, events from your past. Pastor Vic has this amazing story he shares about when he was a young person. And so what would happen is when he would be teased about things, then instead of just kind of dealing with it in a normal way, his default was to get angry. That was his way of dealing with it. And so he didn't know that he had made that agreement or vow back in the past, but he would get still angry with just little things as he got older. And it wasn't until Jesus helped him to see what the source of that anger was that he could deal with it. So if you're one of those people that your head glows red and you go off like a bomb, it could be something's happened in your past that's a trigger point. Here's the thing. You don't got to deal with this by yourself. Ask Jesus to help you and take a walk back into the past. Help him help you to deal with this, navigate it, and come out the other side. Now, I've known Pastor Vic for the better part of 30 years, and he maybe was an angry man back then, but he's probably one of the most calmest people I know. You know why? Because I'm sure I pushed his buttons intentionally or unintentionally a whole lot. And he just kept calm. In fact, he's probably one of the calmest people in my life. In fact, because of his calmness, probably saved me from, you know, keeping me here. In fact, I shared this at the first service. When I first moved here with Sandra, we had four little kids. And we moved in 1993. So the end of 93. 94, we start here, you know, and we're trying to serve God, do all the things that we're doing. A lot of upheaval going on in my life and the lives of those around me. And let me tell you something. Some things happened that I got angry about. So much so, I can tell you that, and Sandra would confirm this, she's helping in kids' church today, but she'd be nodding her head. Then on a number of times, I said, Sandra, I am to the close, I'm done. That literally, I was just on that knife edge of saying, I am so angry, I'm just going to walk away. And let me tell you something, the family in Canada that we left, they're like, hey, come back home. It's great up here. We're not mad at you up here. Come on back. You know, and it would have been very easy to just pack our stuff back up into a U-Haul and head back home. And I wouldn't be here today. But as a result of, listen to me, you know what kept me? It wasn't anger management teachings or anything like that. You know what kept me? Was the voice of Jesus. And that's what will help you as well. Again, I'm giving you some points, some things to consider and think about, all right? But ultimately, what will help you is Jesus. He's the only one that can in a permanent sort of way. Listen, you can manage and you can make some changes and it may help, but what really makes the difference is the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you and direct you and show you what the source, what the core start was for that anger to begin to happen, because that's the only way you can really fix it, amen? Okay, so some things that caused this in your past, right? Learned behavior, unresolved trauma. How about this one? Ignorance. I don't mean that in a negative kind of, but you just don't know. You've not allowed the Word of God or the Holy Spirit or godly people to help you navigate through your unhealthy anger behavior. Now, I can tell you right now that if you have a trait of being angry, somebody sometime has tried to help you. I can tell you that right now. They've come, and now let me give you the scenario, okay? You've just gone off like a nuclear bomb, all right? And so you've maybe calmed down a little bit, and somebody has come along, I can tell you right now, and they can say, hey, you know, I'd just like to talk to you for a minute about something. And you're like, well, what? And you're like, well, you know, I think you got like a bit of an anger issue. And that's about all that comes out. And then that other person goes, phew, second nuclear detonation happens, right? And you know what that person does then? The other person, they just back away and they're like, okay, that's a no-go zone. I'm just not going to deal with it. But here's the thing. Unless you are willing to let Jesus help you, you're going to just keep this. How many people want to? You don't want to keep that. You don't want to be a bomb ready to go off at any given moment. You want to have that calm, controlled, Jesus character-like heart. That's what God wants for you. And so there is hope for each and every one of us. I was a hothead. I was an angry person. And as I've gone through life and the Lord's shown me some of my issues, still got issues, but you know, some of them back there, I was able to deal with some of the angry kinds of issues. Nowhere in the Bible does it promise that as a Christian, life's going to go perfect. It's not. Got news for you. It's just not. But how you deal with it as a representative of Jesus, that is up to you. Amen? That's something that you can make decisions with. Okay, so learned behavior, unresolved trauma, and ignorance. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with these two thoughts, two scriptures. All I'm doing, you know what I do? I want to tell you something. I hope you don't listen much to what I got to say. I hope you just listen to the Bible because it's the word that changes you, all right? So all that I've said is to lead you kind of down a garden path to these two scriptures of how you can deal with anger when it starts to overtake you, all right? So here they are. It's really simple. Psalms 37, verse 8. Stop being angry. That's what it says. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. There it is, all right? Now, here's the thing. There's something here that you might not see, and I want to draw your attention to it. So obviously, we're commanded, stop being angry. Don't be an angry person. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. But then, here's the last part. This is what I want you to see. It only leads to harm. What does that mean? What it means is, think about the future. That's what that's saying. So, you know, you got that angry moment. You feel your head turning red. You're starting to get upset and angry. For a split second, say, if I explode, what are going to be the results of this? Am I going to get fired from my job? Is my husband or my wife going to leave me? Are my children going to disrespect me? You hear where I'm going with this? Are my schoolmates not going to want to talk to me anymore? In other words, take a split second and consider the ramifications past the point of the explosion. That can change everything right there. If you can kind of grab hold of that before it escalates to the point where you're just seeing red and you can't think anymore. Sometimes that can make a difference right there in itself. And then here's the final point. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Don't ever say, I'll pay them back for what they did to me. Wait for the Lord. He'll make things right. Here's the thing. So often when we get an unrighteous anger, and it's about us. That person did that to me. That person said that to me. This has not been done for me. You know, all of that. Here's the thing. You need to give it over to Jesus. You need to wait on Him. You know, Jesus says this, vengeance is mine. In other words, God will deal with whoever has done wrongdoing. You need to let Him deal with it. And you need to just keep walking with Jesus. Amen? So if you can do those two things, consider the future. In other words, when you're going to go off like a nuclear bomb, all right, consider the ramifications of it. The price that it's going to cost you and those around you because you have your little explosion, all right, consider that. And then remember this, that when you are offended, when things do happen to you, when things do go wrong, that God's watching. He knows what the score is. He knows who's right and who's wrong. And just let Him sort it out, and you just keep following Jesus. And don't let anger be a part of your character traits. Amen? Let's stand. And let's pray together. So I asked this at the first service, and I want you just to be honest. Just again, you're looking forward, you're in church. How many people deal with some anger issues? Just put your hand up. All right. I see all those hands. Wow. All right. Put those hands down. How many people have angry people in their lives around them? That's like the other half. So it's like basically all of us got our hands up for something. All right. Father God, right now, I thank You for every person that attended, every person that watched online. And Lord God, the emotion of anger is so powerful, for good and for evil. Lord God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that we have only righteous anger as part of our lives, that truly it's the character of Jesus, that only the only time we get angry is when other people are getting hurt in our lives and we're concerned for their well-being. And Lord, any unrighteous anger, anything that's about us, that we can release that to You. And Lord God, help us to take the steps to read Your word and to call out to You and to seek godly counsel if we need to, Lord God, to deal with these anger issues. Lord God, we don't want to be that time bomb just that could go off at any moment, but we want to be the righteousness of Jesus. We want to be Your character. We want to be calm and cool and controlled, Lord God, to bring honor and glory to You. And Lord, it's not that You don't want us to have emotions. We are to have emotions. They're a part of who we are. But we're not to let those emotions control us, and especially the emotion of anger. So, Lord God, we thank you for who you are. I pray, Lord, you'll be with each person this week as they walk through this life, as they journey with you. And I pray that you reveal yourself more and more to each and every one of them. Lord, we thank you for those four that put their hands up to accept you for the first time. Lord, especially be with them and bring godly people into their lives to help them as they begin their spiritual journey with you. We give all honor, all glory to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.